This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocketship Podcast. I'm Matt Goldman.
I'm Michael Sacca.
And I'm Joelle Steiniger. Today we talked with Mitch Wehner, co-founder and CMO of DigitalOcean. This was super interesting. I'm curious to hear what you guys thought.
Yeah, it was great to talk some marketing strategy and hear what they've done to grow to their, I mean, they just raised their Series B, $83 million. And so he has seen it from the beginning as he's a co-founder. And so it was really interesting to see the different processes and the different channels that are actually working for them for acquisition. Matt, what'd you think?
Yeah, they're leveraging content in a kind of two-sided way where it works to bring in new customers and it also works to support their existing customers, which is pretty unique. So it was really interesting to learn about that. Let's get into it.
And kind of give us the overview of DigitalOcean and how you guys are different from kind of the other hosting platforms that are out there.
So DigitalOcean is the world's simplest cloud infrastructure provider built for developers. So we cater to the individual developers, software developers of the world to power their applications at scale. And, you know, the reason why we built DigitalOcean in the first place is because, you know, looking at the landscape of the industry and the market, we saw that there was a pain that was felt by developers where it was very difficult to deploy a server online in a very efficient way. And, you know, with many providers that cater to the enterprise, you know, they have complex feature sets, complex pricing. There's multiple steps. They have slow provisioning time, and we just felt like there was an opportunity to really simplify that experience and package it all in to offer a seamless and intuitive experience through an interface that we've created and through the back-end technology that we've created in-house to deliver provisioning time that was game-changing. You know, again, like we were able to deploy a server in less than a minute. And providing not only that experience to the developer community, but to also educate them and empower them through our content and through our support and through our community management. So like on social and on our community platform, we constantly engage and answer developers' questions on how to set up their infrastructure environment. So, you know, we create this this entire, you know, this overarching experience for infrastructure that goes beyond just the product itself. It touches every aspect, including the pricing model. It includes, you know, again, support. It includes the underlying hardware. So all our hardware is SSD based. So that translates into, you know, fast server performance. So developers that are hosting on top of DigitalOcean and powering their applications on DigitalOcean experience great performance for their website.
And that content in the community section of the site seems like a double-edged sword. You know, on the one hand, it's for inbound. It's taking people who are setting up a complicated server and teaching them how to do it, but also hopefully bringing them into DigitalOcean. And on the other side, it's like help desk material for people who are using DigitalOcean and need to get their server set up. Can you tell us a bit more about the content and how you guys scaled up the community?
Yeah, so our first hire into DigitalOcean, our employee number one, was a writer, and her name's Atel Sverdlov, and she came in and basically didn't know anything about Linux and was given a book on Linux and the command line to learn more about, you know, system administration, how to set up a server. And so she quickly ramped up. She was able to absorb it and internalize it. And then she, you know, published the first, you know, five tutorials on DigitalOcean, and that immediately took off in terms of traffic. And then, you know, from my previous and from my, you know, my past marketing experiences, I knew how to essentially leverage that audience and leverage that traffic to generate signups. And that was a tremendous channel for us early on, and we just essentially kept investing in our content efforts. And we hired additional content writers, so technical writers focusing on building out these tutorials on our community platform. We hired editorial managers to manage tutorial submissions. So we actually pay our community a bounty to write tutorials for DigitalOcean. So not only do we have in-house resources to develop content, we also leverage the community externally to drive content. So, and to date, we're driving over 3 million unique entrances per month to our tutorials.
Wow. And it's funny that your first hire was a non-technical writer, because I know something that a lot of companies struggle with is they think that, let's say they have a technical product and they want to hire someone to write on the blog. They feel like if that person isn't in their domain, then it just can't happen, or they can't learn what they need to learn. What made you guys go a different route on that? What made you confident that you could teach someone about Linux and like the full history of all the different kinds of server configurations?
I think it really comes down to passion, right? Like I think the person really needs to be passionate about your business and about in our case, technology. So she was very passionate about technology and very passionate about our business model and what we were doing and our mission and our vision. And if you encapsulate and you really feel that passion, it's going to help drive you in terms of learning and absorbing a new topic or a new subject to educate yourself and then eventually become a thought leader, right? So today, whereas, you know, three years ago, she's now has become a thought leader in the space and has really established herself as, you know, understanding not only content development, but, you know, various open source technologies, and Linux distributions and systems and, architectural solutions. So it's been quite impressive, but I think it all stems from the passion that the individual has. So, you know, if you're looking to hire a non-technical writer in your space, or the writer that you're looking to hire is just not educated in your market, you know, if that person is, first of all, a great writer, right? So the person maybe has a literature background or some type of degree in English or writing. You know, you want to empower them to succeed and to learn and to grow, as long as they, again, have that passion.
That's great. So the community section is one area of inbound for you. What are some other inbound areas that you guys have been able to drum up traffic from?
Yeah, so even larger than our community platform in terms of channel breakdown, you know, our number two largest channel source in terms of acquisition is our referral program, and we've built that in-house and been able to scale that effectively.
So walk us through how that works.
So when we first released our referral program, we started off by offering the users a $10 credit or $10 PayPal payout. So we actually offered cash for them, you know, to incentivize them to refer their friends. We also created a Twitter button with a pre-populated text field, so that we helped create the message for them to promote DigitalOcean with their unique referral link. And we saw immediate traction once we launched that. And after that, it was just a matter of refining and optimizing it. So, you know, over time, we added new ways to refer your friends, not only just by, you know, sending a tweet or copying the referral link, but now we also offer other social share options, as well as the ability to import your Gmail contact, so you can send multiple invites at once. We also tested a higher payout, higher incentive. We increased it to $25, and that we saw that it didn't dramatically increase the number of referrals. So we looked much deeper, and now today, DigitalOcean offers not only incentivizes the user to refer their friends, but the friend also receives a $10 credit to sign up. So that really changed the game for us, and grew our referral program at a much faster pace. So you know, but listen, like, we're always looking to refine it, and I think that's really the role and the responsibility of the growth team in any company, is to always look for different ways to optimize it and to enhance it. So we're looking at, you know, personalized landing pages and ways to, you know, drive the top of the funnel conversion rates for that channel.
What were some things that you tried that didn't work?
So marketing in the developer industry, you know, developer-driven industry is somewhat challenging. They're very smart individuals. You know, developers are extremely intelligent people. So they, what that means is, they could smell an ad a mile away, and you know, they get turned off pretty quickly. You know, when they get slammed with ads, and then if you don't have your burn list properly set up, you know, and they sign up, they get hit with ads after which they sign up, and that's frustrating as well. So, you know, we learned that it's not about slamming ads down their throats, and it's not about, you know, plastering DigitalOcean all over the web. It's trying to be a little bit more focused at the you know, the niche verticals within paid acquisition that work really well. So podcasts, for example, have worked really well for us. Even though they have, you know, much smaller audiences in terms of listeners, we found that the quality of those listeners in terms of customers were of higher quality. So instead of driving like a lower value customer to DigitalOcean, we found that, you know, podcast sponsorships had worked really well for us. You know, posting an ad with a promo code on like niche Linux websites worked really well for us. So doing more of direct media buys had worked for us. And then additionally, like retargeting, leveraging all of our site traffic on our community platform to, you know, re-engage our site visitors and to bring them back, to incentivize them to sign up, had worked really well for us. But, you know, in general, like, again, advertising, you have to, you know, just the game keeps changing. You have to stay on your toes and stay sharp and come up with new creative ways and ideas to engage your audience. And it's not just about plastering your logo all over the net with a call to action on the ad. And we learned that pretty early on. Other opportunities that were sort of, you know, were a failure in retrospect could include potentially like partnerships. You know, it's really difficult to make the right choices when you decide to partner with an outside company. Like, it may seem all good on the outside, but once you actually get in and once you launch and it doesn't pan out well, then, you know, you create support load and tickets for your support team, and then they get frustrated, and then it doesn't really, you know, produce a high quality customer. So, you know, you just got to be careful. You want to make sure that there's a process in terms of partnerships, that, you know, there's a discovery phase, and then there's a, you know, vetting phase that goes into it. And you know, that we learned that pretty early on, that, you know, not having them to place actually hurt us. So something else that we learned.
Kind of in that same vein about not being so obvious, you know, when you're driving traffic to your site, how do you balance the content and then encouraging the sign up in a way that's tasteful?
So, sorry, can you just repeat that one more time?
Yeah, how do you encourage you know, the developers that are reading your docs to sign up for DigitalOcean without being so, I guess, spammy and in their face, without turning them off, essentially?
Right. Okay. So, you know, the reality is like, you know, as soon as they hit the tutorial, they clearly see that they landed on a DigitalOcean.com URL. So that's one. So there's an affiliation with the brand. As soon as they hit the site page, they see the logo, the icon. And then not only that, but if they have a question, they ask it on that tutorial in the comments section. Mm. We have an in-house community team, a community management team that answers every question on a tutorial. So we engage with our community. So we're building a relationship with that individual developer over time. And that in turn, you know, will drive them to eventually convert into a customer. And, you know, like I said before, we also tie in our retargeting channel with our community traffic to draw people back in, again, using promo codes and credits to incentivize those users.
And so it's, what do you do on the retargeting side? Is it a passive message? Is it more of an incentive, like a discount? What's the incentive for them to click back to DigitalOcean?
Yeah, I mean, it's more of an incentive discount. We typically give away a $10 credit, which translates into a 2-month free trial on our smallest plan.
Are you doing anything to, are you doing any outbound advertising to bring people into these channels? Any like paid advertising?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of paid channels to drive traffic to the community, I mean, we do very little. what we've tested in the past is we've used social channels to drive traffic to the tutorials. But, you know, it's a very expensive play. You want to optimize your organic channels as much as possible. And, you know, if we were to take a look at our pie, the vast majority is organic. So, you know, instead of investing more in the social media spend, will, you know, optimize the community platform in terms of SEO. So looking for new ways to grow the organic traffic to the community would be much more effective.
Okay. How do you measure the success of these campaigns? Are you tracking like each user's touch point? Is there a method that you guys have internally for saying like how effective is a podcast and knowing where these people come in from?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we take a look at channel performance and we look at the LTV per channel. So we're able to identify what channels drive the highest the highest LTV and the most valuable customers. So that's one. And you know, we can clearly identify the channels that underperform by measuring the monthly churn. So retention is obviously key. So, you know, we don't want to invest in channels where users use the platform and then decide to spin down and leave. So, you know, it is important to keep an eye on, you know, the average spend of those users per channel and per cohort, as well as the churn.
Do you have any method to kind of to handle multiple touch points? Like someone may come in from a podcast, they read a couple tutorials, they go away for 2 weeks, they see a Facebook ad, they sign up. Do you have any kind of advice for people to start to analyze that kind of data?
Yeah, so that's what you referenced, and I should have mentioned it before. Multi-touch attribution is something that we certainly have established and have built out. So what we use is first click and last click, as well as we've leveraged Google Analytics attribution data, exporting that and then importing that into an Excel spreadsheet. It's not the most sophisticated way of doing it or the most automated way. So we're going to be looking at leveraging some type of attribution software such as Convertro in the near future to help automate that process so it's not as manually intensive.
Are you guys doing that like on a monthly basis? Is it something that you do regularly? How often do you do that kind of analysis?
I would say on a weekly or biweekly basis at this point in time, but okay. would like to be more efficient, obviously, if it's automated.
Cool. Yeah. Is there any, so it's Google Analytics. Are there any other tools that you're using to measure this?
Yeah. I mean, well, we've leveraged segment.io. Okay. They're just actually called Segment today. They rebranded.
Yeah.
But we've been able to connect Segment into our SQL database to pull out all the data. And then from that, we've been able to hook into other data visualization software programs such as Looker and create dashboards and such from our SQL data.
Okay.
And then within our SQL data, obviously, we have our first click and last click referral sources tracked.
Interesting. And then where does the retargeting come in there? That's kind of like the middle click, right? Or I guess it could be the last click attribution?
No, absolutely. It could be the last click. Absolutely. Yeah. It could be the last. And typically it is.
Cool. And then are you using Google, Facebook, Twitter on the retargeting?
Yeah, we're using Google Display Network, GDN, and we're using AdRoll for Facebook and Twitter, I believe. I know that we were using Twitter solely when they just first created their retargeting platform, and it's still relatively new, but they're building it out and it's becoming more advanced.
Okay. But what's the most effective for you? Like, if you were going to choose one, which one would you use?
Well, GDN is clearly the most effective because it spans the largest audience, blanketing the web.
Nice. What's been the most surprising growth channel that you discovered in these last couple of years?
I would say content. You know, I would never imagine us, you know, because it's almost like a moat. You know, we're building a moat to protect our castle, our brand. And if you look online, we are number one when it comes to DevOps tutorials and system administration related tutorials and guides on how to create your server environment. I mean, there's no other website online that caters to that type of content except for DigitalOcean. And now it's just a matter of continuing to invest in that channel. It's been so incredible. We've been hit up with tweets day in, day out from developers that, you know, just echo how much they love the community tutorials and how much time it saved them and how beautifully written they are. And just like, you know, we are complimented day in, day out by our community content.
Yeah, I wouldn't have set up multiple servers without them. So kudos. Yeah, it definitely works. When you guys were starting out, would you have thought that you'd be at this position today? Could you have imagined it?
No, we couldn't. I mean, it's really such a humbling journey and experience to be, you know, growing, you know, a high growth tech business that has raised now over $120 million to date with, you know, over 150 employees. We've built a global brand. We've established a global presence, and that in of itself is just so humbling. And it's just been so amazing. And when we started DigitalOcean, we had no idea how large of an opportunity this really was. And you know, today we're starting to really believe and rally behind the thought of being able to power the future of the internet.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? That's really an awesome vision.
It's an incredible statement to say. I mean, yeah. You know, think that, like, we are in a position today where we can power the future of the internet.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Because, I mean, we're number two today, right?
Right,
behind AWS in terms of websites hosted, and we're just scratching the surface. We're just getting started. We're still in startup mode.
Wow. Yeah. So what is next for you on the marketing side for DigitalOcean? Is there anything you're excited about that's happening right now?
Yeah, I'm really excited about refreshing the brand, the brand experience, the brand messaging. You know, it's time for DigitalOcean to upgrade, and we're currently going through a brand refresh project today. So that's like one of the most exciting projects on my plate today, and you can look out for that in the near future to be released. So I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Where can we keep up with you and DigitalOcean online?
You can find us at DigitalOcean.com. DigitalOcean on Twitter, and also Mitch Wehner. So at Mitch Wehner.
Cool. Awesome. Twitter. Well, thank you so much. This has been incredibly informative.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm a big fan of Rocket Chip FM. So keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And be sure to check out our app discount section, where we have discounts on products that we use every day, like Woo Themes, Wistia, Treehouse. Go to rocketship.fm/essentials and get your discounts today.